Welcome back to the Evidence-Based Rheumatology Podcast, where each week we critically analyze one paper in the rheumatology literature. I'm your host, Mike Putman, and this is episode 13, a randomized study of the effect of withdrawing hydroxychloroquine sulfate in systemic lupus erythematosus. This was done by the Canadian Hydroxychloroquine Study Group and published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1991. It is an oldie but goodie. I'll be quick on the background because I actually wanted to talk more on the back end of this paper. When I'm talking about a paper that's been published recently, the background is essentially everything that came before. In this case, I think the clinical context you need to know is everything that's happened since. But briefly, hydroxychloroquine, or what I'm going to call Plaquenil from now on, is an anti-malarial agent. There had been some retrospective case reports in the 80s showing that this could possibly help in lupus. There had never been a randomized controlled trial, so these folks set out to do one. This wound up being a multi-center trial in a number of hospitals in Canada. Criteria for inclusion were four or more conditions in the past indicating a diagnosis of lupus as defined by the American Rheumatism Association criteria. Now, these aren't the ones that you're used to. This is actually the first criteria that came out in 1982. The criteria included malar rash, discoid rash, photosensitivity, oral ulcers, arthritis, serositis, a renal disorder, neurologic disorder, hematologic disorder, immunologic disorder, and the ANA antibody. All that probably sounds familiar, but to be fair, we've changed our criteria at least two or three times since this paper came out. Patients had to be treated with Plaquenil at a dose of 100 to 400 milligrams per day for at least 6 months before entering into the trial. That's important to note. This was not a trial where we started a drug. This was a trial where we stopped one. Patients also had to have stable disease, defined as clinical remission or minimal disease. Reasons for exclusion were anyone who was less than 16, a daily dose of Plaquenil, more than 6.5 mg per kg, eye evidence of retinopathy, or any coexisting illness that they said could increase the activity of lupus and may seriously compromise a patient's health. Not totally sure what that means, but I think it was kind of a fudge factor. Randomization was appropriate. Patients either got Plaquenil or placebo. In the placebos, they did this fun thing where they spritzed it with a little bit of Plaquenil, because Plaquenil actually tastes bad, to make sure that there was no unblinding. The study ran for a total of 24 weeks, and every 4 months, the patients were assessed. The primary outcome measure was the time to development of a clinical flare-up of lupus, based on what they called specific clinical manifestations. They didn't really talk exactly about how they did this. They said that scoring were available from the authors. They did list some of the manifestations that they meant. They're essentially all of the diagnostic criteria I just listed, so I won't do it again. Secondary outcomes included changes in the dose of prednisone or a severe exacerbation of disease. They defined this pretty broadly as nervous system involvement, vasculitis, glomerulonephritis, myositis, increasing symptoms or signs that the investigator's opinion constituted a severe exacerbation of disease, or any other manifestation that the investigator thought necessary to initiate prednisone or to increase the dose. Pretty broad. So if you had a manifestation that required your prednisone to be increased, they consider that severe. Which, fair, but I don't think I would say that today. So what did they find? 53 patients fulfilled the study criteria and were enrolled in the trial between September 1986 and September 1987. These patients were almost exclusively female. Only one patient in the placebo group was male. They were around 44 years of age. They'd had disease, or SLE, for something like 83 to 94 months, which is quite a while. And they'd been on Plaquenil for somewhere around 40 months, which again, they'd been on it for many years. The last thing that should be noted about this patient population is that their SLE disease activity index, or SLEDAI, was around 8. For perspective, the SLEDAI rates patients on 24 areas and scores them on a score between 1 to 8, depending on the manifestation. So for instance, cutaneous manifestations may get a 4, whereas a neurologic manifestation may get an 8. The average SLE disease activity index in this trial was around 8. What does that mean? Well, there's debate in the community about what's low disease activity and what's remission, but more or less, score of 0 is no activity, score of 1 to 5 is mild activity, 6 to 10 is moderate, and 11 to whatever higher is considered severe. In this case, these were patients who had moderate disease activity. This isn't your patient who comes to clinic and has been stable and has had no disease manifestations. They're taking people who had active lupus, and then they're withdrawing Plaquenil. So when they withdrew Plaquenil for these patients, what did they find? Well, it looks like Plaquenil had some effect. Clinical flare-ups occurred in 16 patients in the placebo group, or 73%, and 9 of the patients taking Plaquenil, or 36%. If you subtract those two, you get the absolute risk reduction, which is 37%, and the inverse of the absolute risk reduction is the number needed to treat, or something a little less than 3. That means that if you stopped Plaquenil in something like less than 3 patients, one of them would have a disease flare. At face value, that's pretty good support for Plaquenil. So of these 25 manifestations, 64% were the manifestations that were cited as the reason for starting Plaquenil in the first place. The majority were cutaneous. Some of them were ulcerations, some were arthritis, and some were constitutional signs and symptoms. Regarding what they defined as a severe manifestation, 5 patients, or 23% in the placebo group, and 1 patient, or 4% in the Plaquenil group, had a severe exacerbation of disease, prompting withdrawal from the study. Now remember, they defined a severe exacerbation as anything that required an increase in steroid. So some of these were polyarthritis, constitutional symptoms, and mucocutaneous manifestations. So when I think of severe manifestation, I'm thinking of lupus cerebritis, or DAH, or glomerulonephritis. It's worth noting that that's not what they saw in this trial, even though they did call it severe manifestations. So that's the gist of this trial. Withdrawing Plaquenil resulted in number needed treat of something less than 3 patients to cause one patient to flare. Not too bad, all things considered. There's a couple caveats to this, though. The first is that this was a very small trial. 4 or 5 patients, flipping groups, would have easily pushed it into having no effect. It's also important to note that this was a withdrawal study. Why is that important? Well, these are patients who had already gotten Plaquenil for a couple years. You'd imagine that if someone had started a patient on Plaquenil and then decided that it didn't work, that they would have just taken them off. So in a sense, these patients were already self-selected to be responders to Plaquenil. That's a problem with these drug discontinuation studies you should always remember. The people going in are already probably the people who needed the drug. Aside from those two, I thought it was a pretty well-run study. More to the point, what happened after this? As far as I can tell, there have only been 2 other randomized controlled trials that have addressed this question. One of them was by Mayano et al. In 1996. This was not actually hydroxychloroquine or Plaquenil, this was chloroquine. We think they're similar. This study followed patients up for 12 months. The main outcome was an SLE flare based on the SLEDAI and prednisone dose. They found a lower rate of SLE flares, 18% versus 83% in the Plaquenil group, and a higher rate of prednisone reduction, 82% versus 25%. There was also a randomized controlled trial by Williams et al. In 1994. This was on 40 patients who were given Plaquenil and 31 who were given placebo. The outcomes there were painful swollen joints, grip strength, and self-assessment score of severity of joint pain. They found a lower self-assessed severity of joint pain, kind of exciting, I guess, but it wasn't that big of a difference. If my math is correct, 141 patients have driven something like 2 or 3 decades of prescribing Plaquenil religiously to patients with lupus. It's not entirely fair. There have been a number of large retrospective and prospective cohort studies that have also evaluated this question. The majority of them weren't very much larger, and to be totally honest, with 3 randomized controlled trials already on the books, I don't think that a cohort study is going to change my opinion very much, unless it's really convincing. A number of these other studies have suggested some important other benefits of Plaquenil. I think there's 2 classes of these that should be mentioned. The first are the ones that assess survival. There were 3 reasonably good ones. 2 were case control, and 1 was a prospective cohort with propensity matching. All of them showed some mortality benefit. To be fair, though, it's not a randomized controlled trial. And I've always said, there's lies, damn lies, and then there's case control studies. So you can never really trust this kind of data. The other thing that bears mentioning is some of the case controls and cohort studies on side effects. There have been literally dozens of these, and they've all shown more or less that patients do get retinopathy. We're not sure how many, something like 0.08 to 16%, depending on which one you look at. There are a number of dermatologic and GI toxicities, but more or less, Plaquenil is relatively well tolerated. In summary, I think there's good randomized controlled trial evidence that Plaquenil reduces SLE activity and prevents disease flares. I think it's less impressive than you'd think before you read this data. There's moderate quality evidence that showed a reduction in mortality. There's low-quality data that suggests that Plaquenil can reduce the severity of flares, prevent osteonecrosis, slow down the progression of SLE, or prevent atherosclerosis. None of these outcomes have really been definitively shown. So when I'm talking to patients, I tell them, look, Plaquenil is a good medicine. It has few side effects. There's a good chance it will prevent disease flares, and there's reasonably good evidence that it will prevent mortality as well. If you wanted to ask me how many patients you need to treat with Plaquenil to have a benefit, I would say something like 3. But I do have my doubts on the fact that this study was a discontinuation study and that it was very small. It was pretty well run, and I think that that's the best number to quote your patients. 3, incidentally, is pretty good. When you look at all these cardiovascular studies of things like aspirin and statins, we're in the 40s, 50s, and for some of these screening tests, like breast cancer, colon cancer, cervical cancer, you're talking about hundreds of patients, if not thousands, before you show any benefit. For those reasons, Plaquenil, it's an oldie but goodie. Next week, we're going to switch gears and become a cardiology podcast when we talk about urate-lowering therapy and cardiovascular outcomes. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great week.